I'm Lillian Wu, Fox News Radio, and this is Fox and Food. We're sure you know what foods you love, but do you know why you do? Our guest, Barb Stuckey, does. She's a professional food developer and author of the book Taste, What You're Missing, The Passionate Eater's Guide to Why Good Food Tastes Good. You have a very cool job.
I do.
How did you even get started?
Well, I spent my entire career in food, and about 15 years ago, I joined Mattson, where I am a professional food inventor, and we help large and small companies come up with new food business ideas, and then we turn them into edible prototypes.
Now, I know, as you said, the companies don't always love people to know what you guys came up with, but what are some of the big names?
We've done a lot of work for Emerald Nuts. We've developed pop chips.
Love those.
A lot of products for the Boca brand and some other things that I can't tell you about.
Why do people like certain things and not others? For instance, like cilantro. I love cilantro. I know other people hate it.
Yes, and cilantro happens to be one of those foods that we refer to as highly polarizing, meaning you either love it or you hate it. And there's not a lot of people that fall in the middle. Cilantro is an interesting case, though, because it seems that there's a genetic component to our love or hate of cilantro. And that has been proven through testing with twins.
Oh, really?
They do testing with identical twins versus fraternal twins. And if they can prove that the identical twins have a more correlated liking of something than the fraternal twins, then it turns out that there is some kind of genetic component to it because identical twins share 100% of their DNA.
Right.
In cilantro, it turns out that it's heavily related to genetics.
Interesting. What else is highly polarizing? Like licorice, I don't care for. Is that another?
Especially salted licorice, right. So there are lots of foods that are highly polarizing, like mushrooms.
Love.
Mushrooms are full of the basic taste umami, as are tomatoes. And it turns out that fresh tomatoes also have some volatile aroma compounds that are not loved by everyone. So they, too, are polarizing. Of course, you've got organ meats and other offal that, depending on what kind of culture you grew up with, may be delicious or disgusting to you. So a lot of our likes and dislikes are driven by the culture that we grow up with. But what Taste What You're Missing is about is how our physiology and our psychology also play a role in that, in the likes and dislikes.
One thing that was really cool was it turns out that some of us are more well endowed when it comes to taste buds.
That is correct.
Never knew. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. And we're talking about anatomy, the anatomy of your tongue. And it's possible to actually isolate a section of your tongue and count the taste buds.
No, any particular section.
Any particular section.
Just pick one.
And just you can paint your taste buds blue with a little bit of food coloring and then count the number of taste buds you have inside a small reinforcement circle sticker.
Like and for loose leaf binding paper.
Correct. And it turns out that the density of taste buds on your tongue are correlated to how intensely you experience taste. And that includes all of the tastes. So bitter for you is more bitter. Salt for you is going to be saltier. Sweet for you will be more sweet than those who don't have that incredible density of taste buds on their tongue. And then, of course, there's the genetic component, which you give to your kids. And so a lot of our likes and dislikes are driven by our genetics and whether or not we can smell or taste something.
We all know that, you know, if you hold your nose, you can't smell very well and food doesn't taste the same. What are things that might surprise people about their other senses?
Well, every time we take a bite of food, we use all five of our senses to experience it. And so what we generally recognize is the visual appearance of the food. We recognize the smell and the taste. What we don't pay a whole lot of attention to is the sound that food makes. And our food certainly communicates a lot to us with its signature sound. And I found out a lot about that by going and eating in an anechoic chamber, which is a chamber that is isolated and insulated from the world. And in that chamber, you can truly isolate the sound of food. And I ate things like apples and celery. And the sonic resonance of those foods in sound isolation from everything else in the world was truly amazing. And if we could just stop and appreciate what our food has to tell us in terms of sound, we would take more sensory pleasure from that food. And that's what the book is about, is how to get more sensory pleasure from the food you're already eating.
I know that airlines, for instance, are spending tons of money trying to get food to taste better. How many miles up?
30,000 feet.
30,000 feet. Why do things taste different?
There are a lot of things working against you in the air. One is the atmosphere of the plane, which is super dry, has a lot less humidity, and as a result, it can dry out your sinus passages, and your olfactory system then doesn't seem to work as well. We also know through research that the taste of food, and when I say taste, I mean things like the sweetness or the saltiness, are somewhat masked by the loud, droning sound of plane engines. And so in order to get that same level of stimulation from the taste of your food, you have to crank up the volume a little bit to compete against the noise of the engines. I think that probably the best thing you could do on the plane is ask for a couple of wedges of lemon and add some lemon to your food to give it a little bit more of those volatile aroma compounds. Don't be afraid to use a little bit more salt when you're in the air flying, because we know that the salt is masked by the sounds that occur in a flying airplane. I mean, I know how bad food can be on planes. I travel a lot, and I also happen to know the science behind it. So when I travel on a plane, what I do is always take with me a kit of seasonings. So I'm always carrying around with me my own salt shaker, and I also carry some dried chili powder, chili peppers, with me, so that you can just add another sensory component to your food. The dried chili peppers will give you a little bit of heat, which is stimulating your touch nerve. And that can make up for some of the muted tastes and flavors that you experience when you're in the air. I also think that a squeeze of citrus does a whole lot to liven something up. So when the bar cart goes by, grab a couple of slices of lemon or lime and use those on your food. Make sure that you don't pack bland foods, because things that are bland on the ground are going to be even blander in the air. So nothing like popcorn or rice cakes. You'll want to take up very highly seasoned food, because that food has to compete with the sound of the jet engines of the plane. So something like a highly seasoned chip or a really ripe, juicy piece of fruit or vegetable would be a great choice for snacking on the plane.
Wow, I like those ideas. Now, to go even higher, you were talking in one section about feeding astronauts.
Right.
What are the challenges there?
Oh, boy, the challenges are many. I mean, you can imagine that when you go up into space, you are somewhat constrained by what you can take with you, because everything you take with you, you have to bring back. And so we tend to send up with astronauts food that is already fully cooked, and it's packaged in foil pouches so that when they're finished eating it, they can roll them up and take them back with them to Earth. We also know that when you're in space, the fluids in your body tend to move around in strange ways because there's no gravity. And so they generally will end up stuffing up your nose. It feels like you have a bad cold when you're on orbit. And as a result, you get a lot less smell from your food. And as a result, the astronauts tend to make up for that lack of smell with a lot more salt and a lot of heat. So they send up a lot of condiments. One of the ways we get flavor from food is from the volatile aromas that waft up into your nose. Well, in space, there is no up,
no
per
wafting.
Se, because there is no gravity. And so those volatile aromas, if there are any, are not necessarily going to make it to your nose. And of course, because the astronauts are in space, they generally tend to just slightly warm the food because you don't want to have open flames and hot temperatures up there. As a result of that, there are fewer of the aroma compounds that are released from the food.
What are some fun things that you could do to demonstrate sections of your book?
Should you
blindfold your guests?
Yes. I do have one of the exercises in the book is about serving a meal without your sense of sight. And you really can't appreciate it until you do it. And when I say do it, I don't mean to close your eyes. I mean truly go into this dinner not knowing what you're going to be served and eat it the entire meal from start to finish without your sense of sight, you'll notice that there are certain foods that just are unidentifiable without your vision.
Such as
one meal I can remember, I had cubes of something on my plate. I couldn't tell you if they were potatoes or chicken. And you would think that those things are incredibly differentiated, but not when they're covered with the same sauce. One of the experiments you can do is just using simple baby food, which is pureed fruits or vegetables or meats, and add a little bit of food coloring to a couple of jars of baby food and have your friends and family taste them. You'll be surprised how hard it is to identify what those foods are without their signature textural cues. So, for example, a steak, which might have a lot of chew, or a carrot that has a lot of crunch, when you take away that textural cue, you're left with something that might taste a little bit meaty or a little bit sweet, but really very hard to identify without its texture. I hope that by paying more attention to our food and understanding more about what happens when you put it in your mouth, chew, and swallow, mm-hmm. that education, that understanding will lead to greater appreciation. Mm-hmm. And that's really what the book is about. It's about how to get more appreciation from the food you're already eating.
Thank you so much. Barb Stuckey, author of Taste What You're Missing. I'm Lillian Wu, Fox News Radio, and this is Fox and Food.